Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Richard Rossi Live. I'm so excited to have a very lovely lady, very talented actress and author, talk about her wonderful book today. Sherilyn Finn has written such a beautiful story that will speak to the child within you and to your children. And we'll be back in about 20 seconds or so with Sherilyn live to talk about her new book, No Man's Land. And it'll help bring you out of those occasional dark places that we all go to with our nose. We'll be right back with Sherilyn in about 20 seconds. Welcome back to Richard Rossi Live, and welcome, Sherilyn Finn. We're so happy you're here today.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thank you, Richard.
Well, I love this book. I've already read it myself several times, and, you know, for those of you listening, No Man's Land, you can get it in, you know, wherever books are sold online, but eBay is a great place to get it. So would you suggest going to eBay and just searching No Man's Land, Sherilyn Finn is the best way, Sherilyn?
Yes, or I think some people said eBay and children's books and then No Man's Land, and you can find it.
Okay, eBay, children's books, No Man's Land. As a mother of two sons, I really feel this beautiful, loving, maternal, you know, spirit through this wonderful children's book. Your son Christian was a part in this taking shape. How did this story, you know, how did it organically come to be, Sherilyn?
Well, my son, my youngest, Christian James, is diagnosed on the autism spectrum. And he would say no even when he meant yes. So I would jokingly, you know, say to him, are we in no man's land? And no, we're not, you know. And it just came one day. I really believe spirit brought it through because it just almost started to write itself. I never planned for it to be rhyming. I didn't really know that it was going to be the way it ended up being. Yeah, I really think spirit brought it through, but it came through watching my little boy and talking to him about being in no man's land, where we kind of shut down and get negative, and how that was having an effect on his life and even his relationships with friends and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it has this wonderful rhyming rhythm to it, like a great. I believe it's going to be a classic, like Dr. Seuss had the rhyming. Did the story concept start first, or did it come right away with the rhyme, or did the rhyme come a little later after you had the story?
Well, I had the idea was, wow, that should be. I've always, first of all, my biggest love is children, and always, in addition to my own children, all children have this desire to do something in the land of children, and that still hasn't manifest completely what that will look like. So actually my son's father, I was saying, well, let's write it. It'll be, you know, we can do this. And he was kind of in no man's land and saying, no, it's harder than that. You can't just write it. And so I literally went and read some of Shel Silverstein, a book that has a lot of his short stories, and saw that in them he had so much wisdom and kind of was planting seeds in the children, as did the Grimm's brothers, who I used to study, and Lewis Carroll. And so literally I sat down at my kitchen table with this determination also to show my son's father that everything doesn't have to be hard. And all of a sudden it just came spilling out in a rhyme. And probably the first quarter of the book was written. And then I showed it to him, and he started criticizing it and saying it shouldn't rhyme. And I said, you know what, I'm just going to do this by myself. And again, I think it's like when athletes say that they get in a zone and something just starts to come through. And I think that that's what was blessed to happen with me, because again, there was no plan for it to rhyme. It was just this sweet little, once there was a little boy who lived in the land of, no, and it just started coming out. It was amazing.
Mm. You know, it's a lot of writers that listen to this. That's a real lesson too, is that, you know, sometimes people around us, you know, Jesus, when he would give a message or a healing to someone, he would use a phrase, "Now go and tell no man." And I think sometimes if we tell people around us too early in the creative process, sometimes they'll wet blanket it, you know, or say it should be this way or that way. And sometimes that go and tell no man is important, because, you know, you had the story, and, you know, writing is so subjective. There's always people that will tell you, oh, it shouldn't rhyme or it should be this. But it's perfect, the way it starts, you know, and it has that feeling of a classic fable. You know, once there was a little boy who lived in the land of no, from day to night and night to day, he'd shout it high and low. And then this beautiful illustration, Monica Armino did a lovely job with the artwork.
Yes, she certainly did. I was overwhelmed with the amount of, they sent me a website of illustrators. There were, you know, hundreds of thousands. I was like, oh my goodness,
whoa,
how am I going to, you know, do this? So I just said, okay, just take a breath and just, you know, one step at a time. And there was one image that she had of a beautiful little redheaded freckled boy looking into a pond and seeing his reflection. And it was, bam, that was her. I knew it was her. I knew it was the one. And then as, you know, again, feeling blessed that then she was able to start doing it within the next couple months, and then the results. And she was very collaborative. She was very open. I bombarded her with pictures of my son, Christian, and really worked a lot on the eyes. It was so important to me that the eyes, which is where we meet each other's souls, were very specific and as realistic as they could be, still in the land of animation. And she just did such a wonderful job of, and they also allowed the book to be split into the three parts, which was very important, that it goes dark, you know, that in the middle section that he feels, he sees the what's happened as a result of being, saying no, and that he's like hurting people's feelings and everyone's leaving, and comes to the realization that I don't want to be in this place anymore. And I think that's the only way that any of us change. It doesn't matter what people say, but when we have that direct experience of, wow, this is happening because I'm being this way, even for a little boy. I love that they allowed us to go that dark with the midsection of the book, because that's where it feels organically when I myself go to no man's land. It's very dark. It's very lonely. There's no hope. And the answer can be so simple that we miss it. You know, something as simple as just, you don't have to go to yes, but just maybe, you know, maybe it's okay. Maybe it's the way I'm looking at it.
And those of you listening, I recommend this for adults too, because we all know either ourselves or someone as an adult who their behavior, their attitude, their spirit is so negative, and then they complain, nobody wants to be around me, and you wonder why, you know. And this is a great book. You can go on eBay. Just search eBay Children's Books, Sherilyn Finn. And if you have any questions or comments on the book, you want to send in to richardrossilive@gmail.com, or you can call the studio line on the screen, or text to our cell number, 818-850-5915. And a message coming in about, that came in to us about Sherilyn's book. Gail, who has a bookstore, Flint Ridge Books, has a children's story time that she does at her bookstore Saturday mornings and Sunday afternoons, and would love to have you come and do a story time and promote the book. So I'll send that to you, Sherilyn, if your schedule permits and you want to do that. I'll, after the show, send you that information, and that would be wonderful. And I want to say, too, this book, Sherilyn, helped touch and heal me as an adult. You know, my first therapist, when I first started therapy myself, recommended for me in healing the child inside of me, children's books, children's music, a children's Bible, and said, Richard, you know, you have this intellect where you have all this head knowledge, but to heal the child and, you know, tune into this children's stuff and it'll help stuff get more to your heart. And that's what your story does, Sherilyn. I think it's for children of all ages.
That's such a beautiful thing to say. Thank you. I kind of just keep deferring to, you know, the Lord about it because it really has been magical. The publisher said something similar to me. He said, I'm not publishing this because you're an actress. He said, you know, thousands of books come across my desk. He said, but this does speak to grown-ups as well. There's so many of us that go there. And to no man's land and contracted place of, you know, fear and whatnot. And children, I think also, you know, when we have children or work with children or around children, they do have more of an open, you know, spirit, and they can, you know, fly really high. And if they get upset, then they just let it go. And, you know, they heal us in so many ways. It's interesting. Yeah,
they're so truthful, you know. Jesus said we have to become like little children with a child's heart. And, you know, I love the main character because we all, you know, those of us that have been parents, you know, they call it the terrible twos. But, you know, certain kids hit that no stage, and it's so strong, so strong. I remember my brother hit a no phase, and he literally thought his name was Joe, no. He thought that was his actual name because at school and the parents, everyone was like, Joe, no, no. And you know, and he,
oh.
I love the artwork when he comes to out of the dark place. It's just that beautiful treasure chest with the gold gleaming. And it's a beautiful shift.
And it's been there all the time for him. And it's so interesting, yes, the whole no thing. They do, as little ones, they hear it so often. We used to say, and it didn't do that much good, but we used to say to Christian, I would try to say ta-ta instead of no, because at a certain age it is just, oh, no, 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 you're trying to protect them. And, you know, we tried to save no for a big safety issue. But again, with him being on the autism spectrum, there was, for him, so many things became, you know, jarring or strange, or, you know, he has a different way of interpreting them. And he would say, you know, do you want a popsicle? No. And he'd take it. So it's like, it just got strange, you know.
Well, it's interesting because you passed through the nose yourself to do this. You know, I was thinking about a friend that taught at the Meisner Center, and he used to talk about how as we're growing up, we all hear these no's as kids from teachers, from parents, from church, whatever. But the artist has to learn to say yes to their instincts, their intuitions, as Roy London taught you, that vulnerability and those intuitions. And even when you were writing this, you shared earlier about the no's that you were getting from people around you. No, it shouldn't rhyme. No, it shouldn't be this. So as an artist, as an actress and author, you have had to face your own no's and get past those when you're afraid of a role or afraid of, you know, can I write this book? How have you been able to press through your own no's around you from others, maybe others giving you the no's?
Yeah, I think that part of it is trial and error. I think that as you know, since I was taught through Roy London to really embrace the parts of my life that I think were negative and all just kind of filled with burden. And I think he led me to see that all those, he said, when you do this kind of work, you're going to see the blessing in it. So I think that sometimes, how did I do it. I think there were times when I saw that I didn't listen to my instinct and it went awry, or I didn't just trust myself or trust that quiet voice. I think that it's a matter of, it's also for me been a big surrendering, knowing that something bigger than me is handling it, and that my fear is, as some people say, that false evidence appearing real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's a very personal, organic process, and it's, I don't know that there's a textbook way to do it. I think that it's custom. It's if we, the more we honor ourselves, become our own best friend, actually, you know, for me, that was, I think, a big part of the process is realizing that sometimes, you know, I said the worst things to myself. Nobody, I remember saying to a man I was seeing at some point, you could never say something to me I haven't already said to myself. And I said it kind of pridefully and then walked away and realized that that's not such a great thing. That might be something that I need to look at. And I love also, for me, it's really important that at a certain point, somebody also tried to tell me it shouldn't be maybe, it should be yes. And I absolutely disagreed. Maybe allows, it just opens the door. It'll you know that door is closed. Yes, it's wide open and maybe, you know, a little bit more vulnerable, but the process between that, for me, the maybe of just, well, okay, well, maybe it's okay, you know, could be this, could be that, but maybe it's going to be okay. And I think that the longer you continue on your path and your faith grows and your faith in yourself of that quieter voice. So that's and that's still in process. I wouldn't say by a long shot that I'm done learning that here. Sometimes, you know, we'll be in a situation, my son and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm in no man's land. I'm completely in no man's land. And even that realization kind of lightens it. Just even, you know, saying, hey, maybe I am shutting down here. And that's not where I want to live. So it's until I take my last breath, I think it's something I'll be working with.
Yeah, and the fact you have a name for it is No Man's Land. And by the way, it's such a beautiful book, and I encourage you all to get this book, No Man's Land, Sherilyn Finn, eBay, just search children's books. And another just really affirming message about your work, let me see here, Jennifer said, really enjoyed having you at Vroman's, and in the new year, if you'd like, maybe Book Soup, we could do something there. So we'll keep on the show if you do any more signings regarding this in the near future, Sherilyn, we'll keep telling people. But the fact you have a name for it, No Man's Land, you know, that makes it fun. You know, that makes it something to, just by naming it, you know, has so much power. You know, sometimes I'll make up silly jingles about my negative thinking or the negative thinking of people around me, just to the humor or the creativity kind of have a name for it. So when you say No Man's Land, you and your son know instantly, you know, in fact, your son was so great, answered the question so great on, I think it was KTLA, when he said, sometimes we say no, but deep down we want to say yes.
Yes. It's absolutely true. It's been an astonishing tool with him, even, you know, to this day. It was so interesting, too, because I read it to some kindergartners, and, oh, no, I take that back. A friend of mine who's a teacher read it, and she sent me, their response was, they were very funny. She filmed it, and she finished reading it and said, Do you ever go to No Man? No way. We don't do that. So she said, oh, I'm sorry they responded that way. I said, no, it was perfect. They were in no man's land.
Yes.
You know, they were certain that they didn't ever do that.
Yeah, so by
wonderful.
Saying no, they were saying they were there, you know?
Yes.
And
again,
that's the
this
problem
is
about
like five-year-old.
Oh, yes. My God, 5 years old. And then no man's land, when you're in no man's land, it's hard to recognize you're in no man's land.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew a preacher once, and he would, there were people gossiping and spreading these lies about him and all this negativity. It was probably like, you know, 1% of his church, but he would give this long sermon series about there's people that are negative and they're gossiping and they're hurting this church. And, you know, he would go on and on. And I said, you know, you're kind of wasting your time with this sermon. He said, why are you saying that? I said, because the people that are in the negative place probably are going to just think it's somebody else and not see it. And all the nice people that are supporting you are going to start feeling guilty. Because when we're in no man's land, it's hard for the light to go on. But in your book, it finally goes on for him. And it says, when he opened his eyes, he saw that nearby was a treasure chest bursting with light, and the closer he crept, he began to see it was covered in colors so bright, and he finally comes out of it. Wow.
And boy, coming out of those states is I mean, I think all of us know it's just thank God when we can pull ourselves out of those places. It's also, for me, it's interesting. It just is, it's made me more aware of when, it's such a simple message that sometimes we miss it. You know, it's that somebody can just dismiss it. Oh, maybe, you know, that doesn't pull you out of it. But it really can. And once you start to identify, oh, I'm going there, it's absolutely right. It's like if you're on the diving board and you're in the pool, you know, and you're in no man's land, the best you can do, you know, you got to ride it out. And, you know, but if you can start to identify what are my thoughts that take me there, or why am I, you know, going kind of to this negative place, and being able to stop it before you're in it, that's a really big gift, at least for me.
Well, you've done such a wonderful job. And in our closing minutes, if you have any other questions or comments about the book, there's a guest call-in line on the screen, 347-637-2379, or send it to richardrossilive@gmail.com. And being a mother has been such a great experience, hasn't it? It really, you know, being a mother has been kind of like a muse, your sons, in that in many ways. The book is, I'm sure, many other ways, just that unconditional love we get from our children, huh?
Yes, children are the beauty of the world. I had, the first time I held my son, I had my first son at home with a midwife, and it was, I realized, wow, I've been looking for this sort of sense of completion in all the wrong places. Just holding my child and having, feeling, yes, a love that I've never felt before. I never loved something so much until my faith has been lit up in the past few months, and then I have felt more love than anything, really. But yeah, it is one of the, I often tell people when they're getting ready to have a child, welcome to the best part of your life, and I sincerely mean that. Yeah,
and your faith and your motherhood are so connected, because that's that unconditional love, you know, when Jesus talks about God being like a super loving parent, our Father who art in heaven, that, you know, what you feel for your sons, your two sons, is the kind of feeling God feels when he looks at you, you know.
Wow, that's so beautiful.
And I love the picture of you, and there's a picture of you and Christian in the back leaf here. That's such a sweet picture.
Yeah, isn't that sweet? He's missing one of his teeth, and that's about the time that, you know, that's about the age that when it was kind of birthed, and then it takes so long to get a book made, because he'll look at it now and say, well, that doesn't look like me anymore. And and we actually were able to find this incredible artist who has made these handmade no man's land dolls.
Oh, yes. I love these dolls. Now, how can people get those?
Well, I'm just pulling that together, and I'm going to connect it with the book on eBay. It's
okay.
Been really interesting to, when Christian has it around him, he says he feels better. He says it makes him remember. not to be there, because we were going to make it with yarn hair so you could flip it one way when he was in no man's land and the other way when he was happy. But then Christian felt like, but we don't want to encourage no man's land, so let's just make him happy. So that, you know, the wisdom of children, as always. So our little no man's land doll is just a happy, he's in the land of, you know, he's out of the land of no. And that would, at the very least, I would hope to plant that seed, you know, of you do have a maybe, and it doesn't have to go so dark.
Mm. Well, this is a classic book, and I believe it's going to have different incarnations. You know, I just think it's going to live on and get rediscovered. And thank you so much for giving us this story, for, you know, the fact that you channeled this and birthed this as a conduit for the story. Now it can live on because it's in print. It can be something this generation of children and future generations of children will now be able to read, because you took, you were courageous enough to be the conduit for this story, Sherilyn.
Oh, thank you so much. I just feel blessed. I just feel like the messenger. And I do hope we're still in a grassroots phase, as they would like to get certain, again, I'm such a novice in all this, but certifications from schools and, you know, the people that will say, hey, this really is a good book for children. So it's been not easy. It continues to be a challenge for me to you know, figure out how to get it out into the world more. And, you know, I thank you so much for giving me this opportunity, and you know, and hopefully, you know, people will check it out. It I really do believe it does have a magical gift in it, as you shared, for children and grown-ups alike.
Well, thank you so much, and, you know, Merry, Merry Christmas to you and your sons, and thank you for all the wonderful things you've given us. You know, you first came to prominence for your beauty and your acting, and now you've become an author, and you're giving us this story, so the best is yet to come. God has the best yet to come for you.
Thank you so much.
The glory,
made me cry.
There's a verse in the Bible that says the glory of the latter is greater than the glory of the former. And, you know, there's a story about these people that work in the field, and some come in early in the morning, and others come midday, and then some come towards the evening. And the one that comes in the evening, they got paid just as much as the ones that were working all day. And the ones working earlier, they were complaining, how come they came in kind of late to this, and now they're getting all this blessing? And Jesus says, you don't understand my mercy at all. You know, the ones that come later, I just want to bless them just as much. So this is something that your spiritual calling, your calling as a writer, you know, came later after, you know, you'd been acting for a while. But I was reading about writers, and it was really interesting, Sherilyn, that the writers that started to get known for their writing and, you know, and that gave a spiritual message to the world, something like 99% of them, it was after they had been established doing something else for a while. It was more like a midlife thing they found. And maybe
wow.
It's because we had to live life a little bit, you know, to then find that voice, that spiritual voice. You know, very few found that right out of the gate at 19 or 20 or something like that. But, you know, it was amazing how many of these writers I was reading about, you know, it wasn't until they were like 40 or something that they were even starting to think about doing that, a lot of them. You know, isn't that something?
That is something. That's so interesting. And I think it is. I used to have my psychiatrist who passed away. He used to say that he didn't believe in writer's block. It's just that the people had nothing to say.
That's awesome.
I know.
I love it.
So yeah, when you have something, or Jim Morrison, I loved, he said, I have the ear of a generation and I don't know what to say. You know?
Yeah.
And I loved what you said earlier, just the idea of maybe not, maybe sometimes we have to wait to put things out there. And I think sometimes in my life and even maybe in my faith, I wondered if I put things out before they'd really ripened inside of me, so that I could have the, you know, the strength and the conviction of what I was saying, and that I was really walking my talk. But it's hard to do as it's just still coming into process. So yeah, it keeps falling back to surrender. Had I listened to my son's father just say you can't do it, you know, then I we wouldn't even have the book right now.
Wow. Yeah, I think like fruit, you know, there's three types you have. And Block Talk's giving me a little grace to go a moment over, but there's three types of fruit. There's green fruit, it's not time yet. And then there's ripe fruit, it's time to put it out. And then there's rotten fruit. And so I look at it like, you know, you had this within you, but it was green. You had to live life and you became known as this, you know, beautiful actress in Twin Peaks and playing Elizabeth Taylor in the different films. But it was still a green time, like it wasn't ready. And now it's ripe. Now it's the time to put it out. However, had you listened to all the no's and never written the book, then at 80 years old, it's kind of like rotten. It's like there was a play called Ghosts on Fire about a writer that was haunted at 80, that he didn't write the story in him at 50 because he listened to the no's. And you put it out when it was ripe, when it was divine timing. So thrilled, and thank you so much. We're just really, really, really enjoying the book, and it's something I know we'll read again and again.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much for sharing it this way. And Merry Christmas to you and your family as well. God blesses you.
Okay, and God bless you, and take good care of yourself. And thanks for being with us today, Sherilyn.
It's my pleasure, Richard. Thank you.
Okay, God bless. Bye-bye. And thank you to all of you for being with us today. I do want to mention a couple Christmas things going on that our family did and were wonderful that I just want to give a plug to. The Glendale Center Theater is doing a Christmas Carol right now. We saw it last night on stage, and it was just fantastic for you in the Southern California area. The theater, it's a nonprofit group called the Theater League, generously shared with us about their musical based on Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, the old claymation show that we loved, you know, Rankin Bass with Burl Ives, you know, and the Rudolph and the elf Hermie that wanted to be a dentist. Live on stage tonight, Thousand Oaks, the venue is the Thousand Oaks Civic Center. But to get your tickets, go to theaterleague.com. It's going to be magical. We will be there tonight, and hope to see you there. And again, thank you to Sherilyn Finn. Her book's available everywhere books are sold online, but the best way to get it is eBay and search children's books. Sherilyn Finn, what a wonderful actress and now author. God bless. Merry Christmas. Go with God, everybody, and be blessed.